Imagine a world where luxury meets adventure and every journey feels like a masterpiece. Welcome aboard Motor Yacht Unbridled, an exceptional charter experience where every detail is tailored to your desires. From thrilling water sports to moments of pure relaxation, every day brings new horizons. Step into the future of chartering aboard Unbridled, available now.
So, Liam, first of all, thanks for taking the time.
Pleasure.
It's the Antigua Charter Show, so you're busy.
Yeah.
I was interested in talking to you, first of all, before we start talking about the world of charter on a yacht. How did you even get into this business in the first place?
From a young age, I have a passion for the ocean, my family and restaurant business, so the hospitality is at my core. But there were a lot of chefs in the kitchen, my father and two brothers, and that was a busy part of a life. So I always fell in love with the ocean, the space it provided, and the opportunity to take hospitality into that environment. So diving, fishing, and then one year, I was about 21 years of age, I ended up traveling around the world, and then in Fort Lauderdale, doing the Flibs Boat Show, wow. And that changed my life.
And your country later, of origin?
Australia. East Coast, Byron Bay.
I thought I'd better be cautious on that because sometimes New Zealand, Australia,
yeah, exactly. Even to South Africa, it's like anything south, you know, we're all in one basket, you know.
So what sort of restaurant were your parents?
Fine dining, international cuisine. They now own three successful restaurants in the Byron Bay region, which is a very popular area in Australia. But hospitality is what we do. We're in the business of service, giving guests and clients the most, you know, unbelievable six-star service that they can find. Only in this type of environment.
You never just wanted to stay there and help build the business?
No, I've just got a desire to push on. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what it is, that adventurous side of me, but I've worked in both private and charter for multiple years in both, and I really understand the differences of both, and both have their unique challenges, you know?
So you say that at 21 you traveled the world.
Yeah.
Had you saved up for that? Did you work around the world? How did that work and where did you go?
Basically, I worked in Australia and then saved enough money for a flight to London. And then I went through Singapore, stopped there for about a month or two, then went to, you know, America, the West Coast, Alaska, then went to New York and things started to get colder and colder. And I was going to work on the English Channel. As a mariner, my goal was the busiest waterways in the world. Got to New York, looked at my little chart and I went, too cold, the birds are flying south, time to move south. And then that's when I followed it out.
So what was the first boat that you encountered?
Queen of Diamonds, a 130 Fed ship, built well, won by a great captain and a circumnavigation of South America.
Wow. Yeah. And what was your role on the...
First mate on board. So I already had qualifications as a captain from Australia. So I already had qualifications. And then from that role, I easily stepped into a 50 meter as chief officer. And then I got my first captaincy on a 112 Hargrave and built in Taiwan. And we had a great experience with the owner. And then from there, every 4 or 5 years, I change vessels and they get bigger, but it's the same me. Authenticity, and I believe being passionate about what you do, engaging the crew, engaging the guests. I kind of get the best kick on day 6 or 7 of any charter or boss trip when you see them kind of, you know, really natural in a relaxed habitat where they're enjoying themselves. They understand the boat. They understand the crew. They're comfortable enough to ask what they want. And then the energy there that's transparent. And that's the buzz you get from yachting.
So let me go back a step to when you were in New York. How many years ago are we talking about here?
45 now. So I was 21 then. So 44 years in yachting.
Yeah. And do you think, because I'm very aware of viewers and listeners to the interview who are like, it's not that easy now to just get a job on a Fed ship. Yeah. Do you think it was easier then to get a position on a yacht or is it more difficult now?
I don't think it's more difficult. I got a job because I was on the dock and, you know, even in New York, I was working on a sailboat varnishing a galley table. You know, it's my approach is walk down the docks and I've seen 4 or 5 people walk down the docks here and ask me for, is there any positions on board? We have 2 young ladies on board now that came from walking down the docks. Yeah. And we have all the tools of different companies available, but in the end of the day, it's that face time, that authenticity, that someone saying we can help and we need a resource. So I think it's easy to get in. There's so many tools available now as well.
And have you always worked on charter yachts or were the first ones privately owned?
First one was private, second private, then charter, and then private charter.
What would you say the differences are running a private yacht from a captain's perspective and a charter yacht?
I think it's your mentality. A private yacht, the challenge in a private yacht is getting an exceptionally high standard again for the same person. So I have a lot of respect for captains on private yachts because it's the same person coming. Yeah. You have to get better food. You have to get better itineraries. You have to get better crew. You have to get better at what you do for the same person.
Yeah.
And they judge you each single time. And that drive to the airport, it's a, yeah. did you get better or did you get worse?
Yeah.
So it's a measure and I enjoy that back and forth. Whereas a charter yacht, it's a, the challenges I face is it's a unique person. You've got a very short amount of time between charters to really understand this person. And that's why I look for the reward at the end when they're happy, you're like, I succeeded. So it's more of an instant gratification on a charter yacht. Whereas a private yacht, it's more of a more of a long-term challenge that you look
yes.
for. But both are challenging.
Yeah. So this this particular interview is going to be hosted on a channel that I have called Yachts for Charter. So I really want to dig into the charter side of it.
Understood.
When you're selecting crew, for example, with a view to charter, what are you looking for in good charter crew?
For me, first and foremost, it's the authenticity of the crew member, their background. But in a charter, you have to have a second skill. That's just a fundamental fact in this business. The charter industry has really pushed itself and it keeps pushing itself. So you can't have a stewardess who is just a stewardess. It's very difficult. You need someone with barista skills
right.
or cocktail skills or silver service skills, or you need a deck crew with dive skills or stewardess with yoga skills. Right. Even engineers, we have a great engineer on board now who's in the production side of things. You know, so it's you have to have that secondary skill on the charter program, which is that's what one of the differences is from private. It doesn't have that demand on the crew to provide a secondary skill that we can offer the guests.
And you know, we hear a lot online about the word leadership,
yeah.
which I think is overused. But it, certainly if there's anybody who needs to be a leader, it is the captain of a yacht.
Yeah.
How do you keep the crew motivated?
I try and, you know, the word leadership is great. It's important. It's well used. I try and say I'm not a captain. I'm more of a coach. Like in football, Premier League football, the coach is there's a captain on the field, which is my chief officer. And I'm more of the coach to say, how do we guide this team? How do we put this team together for the owner to get the best result, for the charter clients to get the best result? So I kind of look more of a tactical approach. How do you keep the crew motivated? It's really by listening to them, by engaging with them, by having, breaking down the barriers that resist within yachting of that kind of hierarchical approach. I sit down and have lunch with my crew. I talk to my crew, my junior deck crew. I engage with them. And if they've got a problem, they can always come and see me. Sometimes it's advice at home. Sometimes it's advice with other crew. I have a zero tolerance policy for politics. I don't get involved. And I measure people by the results. How they get to that result is entirely up to them and their experience. They need a help, we can help. But my leadership style is more about really supporting the crew to be better in themselves personally and professionally.
And from time to time, it must go wrong. You can't possibly always hire a great person. From time to time, you must go, oh my goodness, what have I done? This is not going to work out. How do you handle those kind of situations?
I go season to season and I build on core people, but I really believe in core strengths. You know, if you work towards their strengths, use their strengths and work on their weaknesses. That's kind of my guide. So with difficult people, you see the trend coming. And if you're aware of it and you're non-reactive, too many people react to the first problem. The problem is just the indication that something isn't going well for that person. And what is it? Are they tired? They don't understand their job? They're getting mistreated? What is creating this issue that has happened? And that's where I get involved and I really talk to the crew and say, yes, you're making mistakes, but why are you making mistakes? And then you kind of go down that path. Is this a healthy path for us? Well, this is not a healthy path. We've got a fork in the road here.
Yes.
And it's up to them to realign themselves or they have an opportunity to go a different direction in their career.
And that's for crew, but you must also get difficult situations with charter clients.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard all kinds of amazing stories from the charter industry. That must be even more awkward if you've got a client misbehaving on the yacht.
They do. They push barriers. They really push barriers. And that's fine. They're here for a holiday. They're here to relax. They're here to unwind. They do things which they normally don't do at their home. So there's very uncomfortable times sometimes we have. But the structure of the team that we build, and we're going to go back to that logistics and that kind of planning, it really, the first sign of something that's not going in the right path the crew informs someone higher up in the chain of command that then informs me quite quickly. And then we try and address the things nice and fast. I have a saying on board is I like uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. I want to have them. I want to embrace them. So with the guests, I like to have those uncomfortable conversations and help them understand that there's things that we can do and there's things that we can't do. There's also things we can't do in front of certain people. And that's where I like to try and maintain their privacy as a guest and the crew's morality sometimes is a nice word to put it, you know.
Yeah, there's also a lot of talk, which is a very good thing, about mental health amongst crew. How do you address that? Making sure that your crew are not overworked, because charter is grueling hard work, I think, for crew. So what sort of measures do you take for the mental health of your crew?
Hours of rest is a standard. There's got an amazing amount of tools out there now. Right now, there is just a plethora of different tools that crew don't know about that can help them from many different companies, and it's hard to shout out one. So first, it's awareness of the tools they have to deal with it. So you have to sit down and with a crew, like you talk with an engineer about the tools he needs for his job, you have to talk about the tools they need for the crew to maintain their mental health, which includes physical wellness, you know, and the food they eat. So how do you deal with it as a captain or slash coach? I try and identify it nice and early and take time to ask the crew, how are you feeling? Break down a little bit of the professional barrier down. How's your family? Have you spoken to your sister today? Sometimes crew can't make phone calls because the environment around them is so public. So we have to allocate spaces on the vessel, like the foredeck and sun deck, before guests get up. Go and call your family. You know, they're 6 hours ahead in South Africa or in England and different countries. So the way I deal with it is you've got to give the crew the tools they need to manage that. And then also the time. Everyone's got to take a time out. Every now and then crew have to go, Cap, I need a break, or we can see it. So that's how we kind of deal with it on board. Plus, it's a good thing to have as a morale coach. So you can have, we have a safety officer, you can have a morale officer or a morale coach, which is someone allocated on board to then kind of look out around the boat and say, oh, that deck crew is not looking too happy. Heads down, not good body posture, not comfortable. And that morale coach goes up and speaks to them, how's things, maybe brings some feedback to other crew to try and create a support network.
How many crew do you have on Bridal?
14. But we have a network of crew. I don't like to say the word permanent crew because that's a stigmatism. Permanent crew, rotational crew, freelance crew, day workers, they're stigmatisms. All crew have value. And I always say, like a Premier League team, all crew are professionals at what they do. If they're on board, you chose them. You're responsible for them. And that's what you have to do as a captain or a leader or as a coach, is take that responsibility and take that opportunity and guide each one. Don't just blame them for the first mistake, because you chose them as a captain. In some way, shape or form, you're responsible, you know?
So let's talk for a moment about the yacht itself.
Yes.
Unbridled, a beautiful Trinity. I had the pleasure of filming her, I think 2 years ago now. What can you tell me about the yacht? Why do you think she makes such a good charter vessel?
She was built as an expedition charter yacht. She was built, you know, 191 Trinity, 36 foot beam, a great beam, nice draft, 9.5. She can go anywhere. And when you build a yacht for expedition, it's got that strong bones. It's got that space for engineering. It's got that good layout for crew. It's got an already natural design where guests can feel a bit of volume. Like, our sky lounge is like no other sky lounge. You can sit there and see the bow to the stern, almost full beam, big televisions, comfortable couches. It creates that ambience where people can feel kind of at home. So they naturally bring the stress levels and the barriers down. And my crew are really good at kind of working with individual guests to really break those barriers down. And it takes you 2 or 3 days. But Unbridled has those spaces of privacy, the sky lounge, the sun deck, even the main deck aft. It's getting guests in different areas to try and find an area where they feel comfortable, find a drink where they feel comfortable, find the music, the temperature, the air. It's creating that space. And I'll tell you, they're short moments. In a 7-day trip, you can have a client, a very high stress work in their life, and it takes them 2 or 3 days to relax, and they get an hour or two, and that hour or two brings them back again, because it's hard for them to find that peace in life, you know, and that's what we provide.
Have you found any particular activity that's especially popular with guests that all of the guests want to do a particular thing.
Cocktail hour, sunset. We have great cocktails and mocktails. We've got a great service staff. And in the end, people really enjoy that. I mean, you can say the helicopters, you can say the tubes or the different slides. They're great, but from a comprehensive look at the platform and look at the vessel, if you can bring a family and kids and parents and grandparents or business associates, if you can bring them together at 5 to 7 at that cocktail hour, that golden hour, with its calm water and it's glistening and the hot tub's smooth and the music is light jazz, if you can create that ambience, that you don't have to buy that. You don't have to outsource that. You have to create it, and it takes all crew, and it gives you that little goosebump feeling that I'm getting now. That's what the clients are after. You don't have to make things up. You've got to create something, you know?
And a couple of final questions. Your personal favorite destination, that's if you were given 2 weeks charter, all expenses paid, unbridled, obviously they'd have to find another captain.
Or take unbridled, charter unbridled.
That's right, where would you go?
For me, and I'd say the Solomon Islands.
Oh, yes.
In the Pacific. You know, for me personally, as a diver, you know, I do love that local cultural feel you get from the Solomons. It's got the history, the military history between the two countries of Australia and Japan. So the Solomon Islands, but something more local to the Caribbean, I'd probably say the Outer Bahamas. You know, there's some really special islands out there like Cat Island just on the south. Good fishing, good beaches, good diving, good local people. So it doesn't have to go far. South of Cat Island, Hawkesbill Marina, beautiful beach, beautiful fishing, good diving. So,
and a final question, and this is a divisive question that I want to ask as many yacht crew as I possibly can. Below deck.
Okay.
Good for the industry, bad for the industry? What's your opinion?
Oh, what's that saying about marketing? Any marketing is good? something like that. Is any marketing good or any exposure is good? Look, I think it's got its place. I think it's wonderful. It's showcasing the general public the yachts that we have and the tools that we use to succeed. And I think the general public are aware enough and the industry is aware enough to go, okay, that's not really what I thought. So therefore, what do you think? And they will most likely come to a reality and see these vessels and the luxury. And the people that own these vessels aren't silly people. They're very wealthy and they're the world's wealthiest. So they have set standards. So I believe Below Decks is great, it's good for the industry, and it has its place. But what we provide for the charter clients on yachts in the Antigua Charter Show is far more exceptional than you can ever see on a television. Because it's something you can't record, something you can't make up, it's something you can't provide. It's something that we create on board to get these clients in this space that they can't find anywhere else. They can't find ashore. So in summary, I think it's a great product, and it's good exposure for yachting.
Well, thank you so much, Liam. You've been fantastic. And I'm looking forward to hearing the finished podcast and video.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.